يا سيدتي يا مولاتي
يا فاطمة بنت محمد أغيثني.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وبه نستعين. ثم الصلاة والسلام على فاطمة الزهراء. اللهم صل على فاطمة وأبيها وبعلها وبنيها والأئمة المعصومين من ذريتها لا سيما بقية الله في الأرضين أرواحنا له فداء. أما بعد، فقد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في كتابه الكريم: بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إنا أعطيناك الكوثر فصل لربك وانحر إن شانئك هو الأبتر. صدق الله العلي العظيم.
اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد وعلى محمد وعلى محمد.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. First and foremost, I congratulate all of you on the auspicious occasion which we have come to celebrate, the birthday of Bid'atu Rasulullah, a part of Rasulullah, Fatima Zahra, Salamullah alayha. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa Muhammad. Then inshallah, I will begin my lecture for this evening, which will cover a part of this topic of Fatima Zahra, particularly from the perspective which many of our mufassireen, they state that this verse or this chapter of Quran, Surah Al-Kawthar, that it refers to Fatima Zahra, salamullah alayha. This particular verse, or the meaning of Kawthar, as it has been explained by several mufassireen from the Muslims, whether Sunni or Shia, they say that Al-Kawthar literally means khayrun kathir, an abundance of goodness. This is one of the meanings of Al-Kawthar. Another meaning of Al-Kawthar, which is mentioned in the Tafasir, in the commentaries of the Quran, is that Al-Kawthar is a river in paradise that the believers, the mu'mineen and mu'minat, they will drink from. However, to drink from this fountain of Kawthar, as some Mufassirin have stated, particularly Al-Alusi in his commentary, he states that those individuals who have not followed the path of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they will not be able to drink from this fountain of Kawthar. He also states in his commentary, likewise, those individuals, even if they happen to be Muslim, or at least apparently they have given the shahadat, la ilaha illallah, but they have murdered and they have maimed and they have slayed the children of Rasulullah, he says, they will also not partake of this fountain of Al-Kawthar. So these are a few meanings of what Kawthar means. And of course, within our tafasir and our commentaries, it said Fatima Zahra, salamullah alayha, that one of her names, or one of the things that refers to her, is Al-Kawthar. So how is Fatima Zahra, salamullah alayha, an abundance of khair, an abundance of good. Because if Kawthar is referring to her, then Fatima Zahra, salamullah alayha, she must embody this concept and this idea of being an abundance of good. So inshallah tonight and inshallah tomorrow night as well, although tomorrow night we will be at Amir al-Mu'mineen, I'll continue this discussion and this topic of trying to understand how Fatima Zahra, salamullah alayha, she is this abundance of good. Of course, on one hand, historically, as it is mentioned, the reason for which this chapter of the Quran was revealed is that in Mecca, some of the mushrikeen or some of the individuals who are antagonists to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they stated that he had no male heir. And so therefore he was abtar, someone who is cut off. He has no lineage. So that's the meaning or the concept of abtar, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says in this chapter, he says, إِنَّ شَانِئَكَ هُوَ الْأَبْتَرَ. But in that reality, it is your enemies, it is those who have opposed you, Ya Rasulullah, that they are cut off. So this reverse was revealed in this circumstance, that no, the Prophet, he will not be cut off, but rather his lineage and his offspring will continue. And of course, we know that that offspring, it continued through Fatima Zahra, salamu alayha. And this is something that all Muslims, no matter what their denomination is, that they accept. The children of Rasulullah, they often call them Yabna Rasulullah, O children of Rasulullah. They are known as that, whether they're called Sayyid or Sharif or the other CD, different names for them, but rather they are known as the children and the offspring of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that is by the barakah and the blessing of Fatima Zahra sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Tonight we want to discuss, or at least try to focus on, four aspects by which Fatima Zahra salamullah alayha, she is khayrun kathir, she is an abundance of goodness, not only for Rasulullah, but for the entire ummah. That to take heed and to pay attention to Fatima Zahra salamullah alayha, and to learn from this great woman, she's an abundant of goodness. Khairun kathir. Tonight we'll discuss four aspects, and inshallah tomorrow we'll discuss two others that we may not get to tonight. One of the aspects is the tasbih of Fatima Zahra salamu alayha. The second is Fatima Zahra salamullah alayha being one of the perfect human beings, and what we can learn from this. Third is the focal point and the focus point of Fatima Zahra's love and her devotion in life. And fourth is Fatima Zahra's devotion to the Quran. And of course, we cannot exhaust these four points, but we can only just point to some aspects about them. And inshallah, many of you as your students, you can go forth and you can continue to do research and study on this particular topics. First, starting with the tasbih of Fatima Zahra salamu alayha. Her tasbih, which is mentioned in our books of riwayat, also in the books of riwayat of Ahlu Sunnah, our brothers in Islam, in Bukhari, in Muslim, and other books, the tasbih of Fatima Zahra salamu alayha is given great importance. And this is with riwayat sahiha, that from the point of view of the rijal, the sanad, even in Sahih Bukhari, talks about this fart of the tasbih of Fatima al-Zahra salamullah alayha, and how the believers at that time, some of the companions of the Prophet and some of the companions of Amir al-Mu'mineen, that they would constantly do the tasbih of Fatima al-Zahra salamullah. Even to the point where one of the riwayat says, even in the Battle of Siffin, they said, no, the companions didn't even stop the tasbih of Fatima al-Zahra. Within our riwayat, we see that the blessings of this tasbih of Fatima al-Zahra, salamullah alayha, as Imam Sadiq alayha wasallam, he states, he says that in this tasbih of Fatima al-Zahra, he says this tasbih in and of itself is khayrun kathir. It is an abundance of goodness. So therefore, you should not forsake the tasbih of Fatima al-Zahra, salamullah alayha, and it should especially be recited after each and every salat. It is one of those things, as if it is recited after your salat, so that that person will be blessed with paradise. So they said, don't forget the tasbih of Fatima al-Zahra, salamullah alayha, after one salat. So this is one aspect. And of course, again, just to explain this tasbih of Fatima al-Zahra, it needs its own session, its own majlis. But this is one aspect or dimension of Fatima al-Zahra salamullah alayha being khayrun kathir, that she is the reason for which this tasbih has been given to the ummah, that she has received it from Rasulullah and it has been spread throughout the ummah. The second aspect which I want to cover regarding Fatima al-Zahra salamullah alayha being khayrun kathir is her being one of the perfect human beings, being among the ma'sumin. And here I want to just give an aside, especially for the students, the tulab al-hawza, those who will be authors and translators in the future, that we should be very precise about how we explain this beautiful message of the Quran and the beautiful message of Ahlul Bayt alayhim afdhalus salatu wassalam, and the message which our ulama also, they have written about and they have delivered. And I say that we should be precise so that this message is understood very clearly. Why? Because if we look at one of the books that Shaheed Mutahari, rahmatullah alayhi wa qaddasallahu sirruhu, he has written by the name of Insan, Insani Kamin, the perfect human being. But when we look at the translation of this, especially the title, it says the perfect man. And just from a quick glance at that, maybe someone will not understand or not perceive that, oh no, that women also can reach this status and this degree of being perfect. No, there's only men who are perfect. But the title in itself says Insan Kamil, the perfect human being. Even if the example which is used in this book, or perhaps in other books, maybe Amir al-Mu'mineen, maybe the other a'imma alayhim afdhalus salatu wassalam, but Fatima al-Zahra salamullah alayha, she doesn't fall short of any of them. In fact, this idea and this concept which we have about perfection, about the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt being perfect, being infallible, which we call isma, if we look at what the Ahlul Bayt alayhim afdhalus salam says about this idea and this concept of isma, of infallibility, of perfection, particularly with regards to Fatima al-Zahra salamullah alayha, we see that at times the source of this perfection and this isma is associated and attributed to Fatima al-Zahra salamullah alayha. Imam Sadiq alayhi wasallam, he states that Fatimah Zahra ismatullah al-kubra. She is the greatest safeguard, if you want to say, the greatest point of perfection or infallibility that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed before us. Or as he also says, ismatuna min Fatima, that our perfection, our isma, our ability to safeguard ourselves from sin is from Fatima Zahra salamu alayhi. So when we begin to explain this beautiful teachings of the Qur'an and Ahlul Bayt alayhim afwasadu salam, we must be precise. So this message is delivered. Takes a precision, but it also takes walking in the footsteps of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Why do I say this? Because Rasulullah, he was an iconoclast. An iconoclast meaning someone who is broken, who breaks idols. Not only did Rasulullah, he destroy and break the idols that were around and in the Kaaba, and the idols that were on the Kaaba, that he placed Amir al-Mu'mineen upon his shoulder so that he can break the idols that were on top of the Kaaba. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he destroyed and broke the idols which were in the society, the social, the intellectual, the spiritual idols that people held with themselves. And one of those idols was the position of women and the status of women in society. He destroyed this idol of what a woman should be, at least in the minds of the society at that time, the patriarchal society of that time. So the birth of Fatimah Zahra salam alayha, the existence of Fatimah Zahra salam alayha, is something that also is a symbol of destroying those social idols. But unfortunately, sometimes that idol is, and particularly this idol, has been rebuilt, not only in the West, but also within Muslim societies as well, among Muslims as well. That the status of women, that what their status is, based on knowledge, their spiritual aptitude and capacity. Sometimes it is not looked upon or given its proper due or place. But the existence of Fatimah Zahra salamu alayha came to destroy that idol. Came to destroy that idol. So we have to walk upon that path to destroy that idol, keep it destroyed, and also other idols and social ills which we carry with ourselves. If we're going to walk in the steps of Rasulullah and Fatimah Zahra salamu alayha. One of the things that, and again, the idols that existed then, that the Prophet worked to destroy, and it also exists now. Sometimes our separation based on, okay, well, what tribe are we from? What clan are we from? What language do we speak? What country we are from? These are all social idols that we must break and we must destroy, because this is something that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he worked hard to destroy. That in our gatherings, some people can come or some people can't come based on their country, their nationality, their look, their tribe, their whatever. These are social idols that the perfect human beings, Rasulullah, Fatimah Zahra, Amir al-Mu'mineen, all of our imma, they came to break. So if we're going to walk in their footsteps, we also must be iconoclasts. Break these idols. work towards breaking these idols by delivering the message of Ahlul Bayt alayhim afdhalus salatu wassalam. This is one reason for which also we see that Ajwa Hassan Hassan Zaru Amali, Hafidhullah, he also wrote his book about Fatima Zahra Salam alayha. Fasu Hikmatin Ismatiya Fi Kalimatin Fatimiya. The bezel of infallibility in the word of Fatima Zahra and the name of Fatima. But again, the blessing of Fatima Zahra Salamu alayha, her existence is without counting. We cannot count the blessings that we can gain from Fatima Zahra Salamu alayha. Among those blessings, still in this idea and the concept that she is insan kamil, that she is a perfect human being, she explains for us, or she gives us a method that if we followed this method, that we too can correct ourselves, we too can begin to tread this path of spiritual refinement and trying to model ourselves after the perfect human beings, after Rasulullah and his Ahlul Bayt alayhim afdhalus salam. What is recorded in some of the riwayat about this method, what she states, she says, حُبِّبَ إِلَيَّ مِن دُنْيَاكُمْ ثَلَاثٍ, that there are three things in this dunya, in this world, that I have been made to love, or to have grown fond of. Then she mentions these three things. She says, تِلَاوَةُ كِتَابِ اللَّهِ, the recitation of the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَالنَّظَرُ فِي وَجْهِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهُ وَعَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ, and looking at the face of Rasulullah. And the third thing, الْإِنْفَاقُ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ, to give for the sake and in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So there are three things from this dunya that she loves, that she likes, or she has been made to love. And of course, this comes in light of one of the things that we also notice from al-insan al-kamil, from the complete or perfect human beings, that how they are separate from this world. After Fatima Zahra salamu alayha, she went forth to secure or to regain what was her right in this world, Fadak. But she was denied it. She made the statement, Asbahtu wallah atiqatan min dunyakum, that today I have become separated, I have given away, I have no chains or no ties to this dunya of yours, to this world of yours. But understanding this statement, particularly with regards to the statement that she loves three things of this world, it in itself is a great message, and a great message of tarbiyah, how we should refine ourselves, how we should use this dunya in order to refine ourselves, in order to connect ourselves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in order to tread the path of those perfect human beings. We also find a similar statement in the statements of Ahlul Bayt alayhi ma'afu salatu wasalam. Of course, as we know that Amir al-Mu'mineen, Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi ma'afu salatu wasalam, he stated that he has divorced this world three times, meaning he has no attachment to this world. Like Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, he had no attachment to this world. whereby he stated that if the moon was put in one hand and the sun in another, I will not stop delivering this message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No matter what you give me, I will not stop delivering this message. So he had no attachment to this role, but yet we find in the statements of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, for example, where he states that there are things that I love from this world. Among those things which he states that he loves from this world, there's a famous hadith, he mentions three things. We're not going to go through all of those three things, but one of the things that he stated is at-tib, or you can say atir, perfumes, scents, oils. He says, I love this from this dunya. But we must understand why. What is the wisdom in this? That Fatima Zahra salamu alayha, she also states that I love three things, or I've been made to love three things from this world. What is the secret in this? Where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's not attached to this dunya, but he says he loves three things from this world. First, we must understand one of the natures of man. And that is of human beings, of humanity. And that is that, as one of the Urafa has stated, one of the great scholars here stated, Alama Istihbanati, he states the nature of the soul, and nafs. He states that it is a light, a nur, from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's light, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he's nur as-samawati wal-ard. This light of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mutlaq, it is absolute. It has no connection and no ties to anything. But the nur which comes from that light from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says it is mu'allaq bi-fi'liha, that it is connected to its actions. And it has two aspects, ذو جهتين. جهة علوية والأخرى جهة سفلية. It has two aspects or two dimensions. One dimension is a heavenly dimension where the soul, it is inclined towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is inclined towards spirituality. And the other dimension is جهة سفلة, where it is attached to, and it may have a pull towards this mundane world. So this is the nature or the state of the human soul. It has this aspect. It has these two pulls. And depending on which pull is greater, then that individual may be inclined towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, towards spirituality, towards perfecting himself or herself. Otherwise, it will be pulled towards this dunya and this temporal world, temporal pleasures. But what the statement of Rasulullah and the statement of Fatima Zahra salamu alayhi, what it teaches us is how to use this temporal world and what is in it to strengthen our pull towards our higher self, our spiritual self. And in fact, this is the actual meaning, or it helps us to understand what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he stated that this dunya mazra'atul akhirah, that it is the planting ground and a field for the hereafter. That if you understand how to use what is in this world for the hereafter, then you will strengthen your light. You will strengthen your pull towards the hereafter. Let's take, for example, first one of the things that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said that he liked, and that is the tib, that is the perfumed oils. And of course, we may all have our favorite, whether it's Somali rose, Egyptian musk, whatever, misk, whatever, oud, so many different types of oils. So the Prophet, he said that he loves this. But if we begin to examine that, what is it? And why does the Prophet love this thing which is in this dunya? And what is its effect? And how does this help? Maybe the Prophet, or he's trying to show us how we can use these things to help us to be inclined towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In Al-Kafi, Kulaini, he brings a series of hadith under the chapter of Babu Asl al-Tib, the origin of perfumed oils, scented oils. He brings several hadith. Within this chapter, perhaps most of the hadith from the point of view of Rijal, the chain of narrators, cannot be authenticated. One of them has a very authentic chain of narrators. Nonetheless, in context, in general, we can say that there's some aspects of truth about this idea of the origin of perfumed oils or pleasant scents. And one of the hadith states that when Adam and Hawa, Adam and Eve were sent to this world, the clothes that they had, the leaves that they used to cover themselves, they were leaves from paradise. And on those leaves, there was the scent of paradise. So the scent of paradise came from heaven, from Jannah. One of the hadith says that the scent of paradise was sent through Hawa. That in the braids that she had in her hair, it was mixed with the scent, Tib, wara'ihatul Jannah. The scent of paradise. In fact, this is the only hadith that can be authenticated. The others are, at least from the point of view of Rajal, are not authentic. But I said in Majmu', in general context, we can gain something from it. So he said that when Hawa, she opened her braids, her locks, then the scent of paradise spread out through this world. But the asl, or the origin of and oils and scents is from paradise. And of course, some of the hadith indicate that the paradise that Adam and Hawa were in before coming to this world was not the paradise of the Akhirah. And so it indicates that the paradise that they were in, that the tib and the scented perfumes that was in their paradise came from that paradise of Akhirah, that Allah placed it in their paradise, and from there it came to this world. In any case, the origin of all good and the khair is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And without doubt, the scent of paradise would not be the scent that we have in this world. We will not have in paradise anything which smells spoiled or foul. And even the scents that we have in this world of musk, of Egyptian musk, of oud, whatever you can think of, that if these are the most pleasant smells in this world, imagine what paradise must smell like. Imagine what paradise must smell like. And we know that paradise must have a pleasant smell. For one, in the Quran, it states in Surah Al-Waqi'ah, chapter 56, if we read verse 88 and 89, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَأَمَّا إِن كَانَ مِنَ الْمُقَرَّبِينَ فَرَوْحٌ وَرَيْحَانٌ وَجَنَّةٌ نَعِيمٌ. That if you succeed to be among those individuals who are close in proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that you have gained paradise. فَرَوْحٌ وَرَيْحَانٌ وَجَنَّةٌ نَعِيمٌ. Then you will be blessed with رَوْحٌ, which is often explained as ease. وَرَيْحَانٌ, which has multiple interpretations. Among those interpretations, رَيْحَان is referred to as one of the trees in paradise, but that tree that is in paradise is a scented tree, is a perfumed tree that carries with it the most pleasant of smells. And elsewhere we see in the Urwayat, it states that the believer, when he passes away, one of the first things that he smells is Rayhanul Jannah, the scent from paradise. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He establishes. He says those who gain paradise or are in close proximity, they will have this pleasant scent. And do we not pray for this when we are also making wudu? When we are rinsing our nose? Allahumma la tahrimni ra'ihat al-jannah. To Allah, do not prevent me and forbid me from smelling the scent of paradise. وَجَعَلْنِي مِمَّن يَشُمُّ رِيحَهَا وَرَوْحَهَا رَوْحَهَا وَرِيحَهَا. Actually, رِيحَهَا رِيحَهَا وَرَوْحَهَا وَطِيبَهَا. And O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, make me among those who smell the scent of paradise. So without doubt, paradise has a scent. Paradise has a scent. It has a fragrance, a pleasant fragrance. And if you've read anything about the art of aromatherapy, some accept it, some reject it, but the art of aromatherapy, one of the things that it states with aromatherapy, not only to help bring about a balance in one's demeanor, one's physical orientation, to bring about calmness, to bring about spiritual rejuvenation. One of the things that's also mentioned about aromatherapy, they say that scents, perfumes, it also triggers memory. Something that someone perhaps has remembered from before. So you give them certain scents, and that scent will trigger a memory. Quite often our memory is triggered by scents, perhaps sometimes food. If our mother used to cook a very nice dish, and then we're in a foreign place, we're in a different place, and we catch a sense of that biryani or that chicken masala that she used to cook, I'm like, that reminds me of my mother's home or my grandmother's home. So sense also triggers memory. And it would not be far-fetched to say or say that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he is encouraging, again, so many riwayat about using perfumes. Why? Perhaps for us it will trigger a memory of paradise. If the asl, the origin of that tib, of that perfume is paradise, then smelling that will cause us to incline towards remembering paradise or something of paradise, or cause us to incline towards paradise. So we use this world and things within this world to strengthen our soul towards its inclination towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is why Fatima Zahra salamu alayha, also in her statement, which leads us to the third aspect we want to speak about, Fatima Zahra being an abundance of khair, why she states that she has been called to love three things in this world. Hubbiba ilayya. her focal point of love is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So whatever she engages with, at least this is what we should learn, that it should be something that reminds us of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Something that takes us to that point, either by memory or by focusing on that, that it will instill in us our true objective and goal in life, in existence, and that is to return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what she states, subhanAllah, just examine, hubbiba ilayya, in the passage, I was caused to love. And of course, who caused her to love these things? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is the cause of causes. And if we want anything which is an abundant of good, then we should ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that abundant of good, what we should seek from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, especially in this world, is something that if we are connected to it, if we are engaged with it, it causes us to love and be inclined towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And one of the du'as, and I'm not going to recite the whole du'a, but just a part of it, that Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi afdhalus salatu wasalam, he gave to the one of the mu'mineen during his time, Ibn Abi al-Maqdam, he told him, he says, write this du'a. If you want khayr al-dunya wal-akhirah, if you want this, he says, recite this du'a. Which begins after praising Allah, alhamdulillah, and thana alayhi, praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It says, Allahumma anta Allahu la ilaha illa anta al-halimul kareem. It begins in this way, that, oh Allah, you are Allah, you're the one who is graceful, you're the one who is generous. Then it goes to the point where it says, wahbibni wa la tubghidni. To Allah, love me, have love for me, and do not be angry with me. Until it reaches, وَعْتَنِي خَيْرَ الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. So asking for خَيْرَ الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ, what is good in this world and the good in the hereafter, is directly connected to the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That those things should create for you a love within you, a love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a desire for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those things which we gain in this world should not take you away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, should not distract you from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, should not distract you from your goal and your objective, your true goal and objective in life. So you ask for that. And what Fatimah al-Zahra salam alayha, she states, and this is the fourth point, and we'll end with this. She says, Hubbiba ilayya min dunyakum. That there are three things that I've been caused to love in this world. And she states the first, which we will cover tonight, the other two, inshallah, tomorrow night. She says, Tilawatu Kitabillah, to recite the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And reciting the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, reciting the Quran without doubt, it is one of those things which will strengthen your light, nur iman, and your light. If the soul, as Alama Istahbanati, he stated, if your soul is a light that comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you want to strengthen the illumination of that light, then Al-Qur'an, Al-Qur'an, Al-Qur'an. Attach yourselves to the Qur'an. Read the Qur'an. Become as Ayatollah Hassan Sarsan Zahra Amli, he often said, he says, Kun insan al-Qur'aniya. Be a Qur'anic individual. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he states that, he says, Nawwiru بيوتكم بتلاوة القرآن. Enlighten and illuminate your homes by reciting the Quran. So again, the Quran is a source of illumination. Is a source of illumination. Then in the same hadith, after stating some other things, he says, فَإِنَّ فِي تَلَاوَةِ الْقُرْآنِ or فَإِنَّ الْبَيْتِ كَثُرَ فِيهِ تَلَاوَةُ الْقُرْآنِ كَثُرَ خَيْرُ. That house in which the Qur'an is recited often, then the goodness and the abundance of goodness comes to that house. وَاتَّسَعَ أَهْلُ and abundance of goodness and blessings will be imparted upon the people of that house. And that house will be illuminated in this world like the stars are illuminated in the heavens. He says, and the sukkan, the angels or whoever are in the heavens, when they look down upon the earth, they will see these lights that are shining in this earth as we see the lights of the stars shining in the sky. And this comes from the Quran. But not only will reciting the Quran illuminate your homes, it will illuminate yourself. This is one of the understandings that you can gain and you can derive from the existence and the being of Fatima Zahra salam alayha. As one of the companions asked Imam Sadiq alayhi wa salam, that why was Fatima Zahra salam alayha, why was she given this title Az-Zahra? In response he stated, because Zahra Nuruha, that her light, the light of her existence, her being, was illuminated. إِذَا قَامَ فِي مُصَلَّهَا. That whenever she stood, this is not the exact words, but whenever she stood in her place to establish her prayer, that the light of Zahra salam alayha will be illuminated. And so the sukkan is samawat. Those who are in the heavens, when they look down, they will see a bright light coming from the house of Fatima, salam alayha. She's in her place of prayer. And what do we do in our place of prayer and when we're praying? And what does she do? Reciting the Quran. Reciting dua. Remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if we want to illuminate our souls, if we want to make use of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us in this world in order to incline towards Him, in order to attach ourselves to Him, in order to walk the path of those perfect individuals, one of the things that we must attach to is the Qur'an. Reciting the Qur'an. And without going into too much detail, that reciting the Qur'an, when we look in our riwayat, we can categorize some of the aspects of reciting the Qur'an to a time, a place, a method, and a selection. Sometimes what is emphasized is the timing in which we recite the Qur'an. As it is emphasized that in every night that we should recite the Qur'an, every day we should recite something from the Qur'an. And of course, our salat counts, but we should go beyond that as well. Recite something of the Qur'an. And every month is recommended to complete the Qur'an. And Ramadan is mentioned to complete the Qur'an. Timing, place, in our place of prayer, in our homes, in the masjid, in our beds. Don't think, oh well, I'm in my bed, and no, I shouldn't read the Qur'an. Imam Ridha alayhi salatu wasalam, He would read the Quran, as is reported, fi farashihi, while he's in his bed. He's about to lay down, he's this place, he's about to take a rest, and he's reading Quran. A timing, a place, a method of reciting the Quran. وَرَتِّلِ الْقُرْآنِ تَرْتِيلًا. Recite the Quran and understand the Quran. Pay attention to the Quran. And this is one of the things that I should mention, just as a reminder first and foremost to myself, but to everyone, that when the Quran is also being recited, particularly at the beginning of the month, listen to the Quran. You shouldn't talk above the Quran. Listen to the Quran. This is a part of attaching ourselves to this thing which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. And He has given it to us for a reason, in order that we incline towards Him, that we remember Him, that we remember our true objective in life. So listen to the Quran, pay attention, and learn the lessons from the Quran. Even within the method of reciting the Quran, which again we may see less of this, but it's something that we should try to very much do within our method of reciting the Quran. It is stated, and particularly in the same hadith where it says that Imam Ridha alayhi wasallam, that he will recite the Quran while he's in his bed. They said whenever he came across a verse of the Quran that mentioned Jannah wa Nar, yabki, he would cry. And he would ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for paradise, and he would seek Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's protection from hell. In other words, the mentioning of Jannah wa Nar had an effect. Imam Zain al-Abidin alayhi wasallam, in his method of reciting the Quran, he said, yes, he also recited Quran. And when he would recite in his salat, in Surah Al-Fatiha, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ, and particularly on إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ, sometimes he would repeat this, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ, and as he's repeating, he's crying. This is Imam al-Ma'soom, this is a perfect human being. And when he was asked, why do you cry when you say إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ? He says, because I'm before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I can't lie to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if I'm telling him إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ, that you're the only one that I am worshipping, he says, I begin to reflect my actions and really to think that, am I only worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Is my every action in this world worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? He says, and this brings me to tears. This is Imam al-Ma'soom, a perfect individual, perfect image. Again, they understand the weight and the depth of what they're reciting. But often we just recite this, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ اهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ, with no effect. Try this when you're making that salat and you're saying, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ, O Allah, you're the only one that I am worshipping. All my every action is only for you. That are we really embodying that understanding that our every action is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? That's about the method, about selection, reciting different selections of Quran, Ayatul Kursi, and its benefit, its effects, reciting, as Imam Amir al-Mu'mineen, he states that at least every day recite 50 verses of the Quran to understand the communication of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to you. After Salatul Asr, to make your istighfar 70 times and to recite Surah Al-Qadr 10 times. This is one of the things. So within the Ru'ayat, there are many things to look towards to find selections of the Quran that we should recite and focus on. And I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us all tawfiq in following the example of Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad, these perfect individuals, these perfect beings, and particularly in these nights that we are remembering the life of Fatima Zahra salam Allah alayha. And inshallah, we'll end quickly with one of the du'as, or at least a part of the du'a of Fatima Zahra salam Allah alayha, as she teaches us, and we do this du'a first and foremost for ourselves and for all of the mu'mineen and mu'minat. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Bismillah ala ahli bayt al-Nabi Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa alihi. Bismillah ala nafsi wa deeni. Bismillah ala ahli wa mali. Bismillah ala kulli ma a'tani rabbi. Bismillah ala ahabbati wa waladi wa qarabati. بسم الله على جيراني المؤمنين وإخواني ومن قلدني دعاء أو اتخذ عندي يدا أو ابتدع إلي برا من المؤمنين والمؤمنات بسم الله على ما رزقني ربي ويرزقني بسم الله الذي مع اسمه لا يضر شيء في الأرض ولا في السماء وصل اللهم على سيدنا محمد وآله الأطهار
آه.